We've been talking about serving God and serving others. It's the fourth core value focus in our 2020 vision, but really just as a church, we're seeking to worship God, to learn God's truth, to connect as God's family. And the outpouring of those three things as we participate in those should express itself in service to God by serving others. That means that we use our spiritual gifts to reach the lost and to edify believers. So these last couple of weeks we've been talking about that topic of spiritual gifts. I hope it's been an enriching study for you as you have spent some extra time, I hope, over the last couple of weeks meditating on these things, studying some of these passages that the Bible gives us to inform us, instruct us, and motivate us towards serving the Lord in the areas that He has gifted us to do so, the opportunities that He has provided for us to do that. And hope that you have also gained confidence in identifying your spiritual gift, or if that's something you're still in the process of, that you'll continue that prayer to the Lord, that interchange between family members and church members as you seek to really identify where the Lord wants you to thrive, how He wants you to serve. And again, it happens just as we're faithful in walking with Him and in looking for those opportunities to serve. But Paul told Timothy, we remember 2 Timothy 1:6, that verse where he writes and says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee." So that's our desire, that maybe those gifts, as they lie dormant from a lack of use or just from an unawareness of what might be there, or just a failure to take advantage of opportunities to be serving here in the context of the local church, that God would stir up in each one of us, that He would stoke those fires of the Holy Spirit as we learn to walk with Him and be filled by Him. I invite you in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that will be the first text we'll look at just briefly to wrap up Paul's progression of information about this topic of spiritual gifts there in his first epistle to the Corinthians. And then we'll look at a second Bible text this morning that deals with spiritual gifts as we continue to answer the questions having to do with, in our major outline spanning over the last couple of weeks and culminating in today, number one, to understand the spiritual gifts. And as your Bibles were open, you look at the opening of chapter 12, where Paul says, "Concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant." It's important that we know what they are, that we're looking for them and looking to exercise them here in the church. And so we see in verses 4 through 7 that a spiritual gift is simply a divine enablement for service, and that the focus of that service is the benefit of the church. Chapter 12 and verse 7, that to everyone is given a manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all for the common good, so that we can serve each other within the context of the local church with that divine enablement. Those are the very fundamental basics to understand spiritual gifts. Then it'll continue in the latter part of that chapter from verses 12 through 31, talking about identifying your spiritual gift. We see all three members of the Trinity involved there in our focus, in our nurturing of our relationship with God, that we rely on the Spirit's work, recognizing that if it's a gift from the Spirit, if I want to identify and stir up that gift and use it in the church, that I need to be walking in step with the Spirit. That I ought not be quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit with my failures to live in faithfulness, obeying what He commands me to do, abstaining from that which He commands me not to do. And that as I yield to the Holy Spirit and am filled with Him, as I walk in the Spirit, that spiritual gift will begin to manifest itself naturally. I recognize God's authority. That means that He is the one that appoints the gifts and sets the balance of gifts in each given local church context, so that we have just the gifts and just the gifted people that we need to be able to be edified as long as everyone is exercising those gifts. And so we recognize His authority. We don't take pride in the gifts we have. We aren't jealous of the gifts that others have. We aren't ashamed of the gifts that we have. We recognize God's authority and we remember Christ's body. We know that we can't all be the same, that though we are unified and though we all are seeking to grow up into Christ our head, that as members of His body there is a healthy diversity. And as we exercise a variety of gifts, if any part is missing, then the body lacks. If any part is underdeveloped, then the rest of the body has to compensate and suffers. And so we remember Christ's body. And finally, we desire the best gifts from chapter 12. But he ends the chapter by saying, but I'll show unto you a better way. And it's a segue into chapter 13 as it talks about seeking biblical love, prioritizing biblical love, which simply means that as a church member, that as a believer that's gifted in some way with a divine enablement by the Holy Spirit for the service to Christ's body and the glory of God, that I deny my own desires in order to seek God's best for others. That's the biblical love that he'll lay out for us in chapter 13, a familiar passage. And as we open this morning with main point number 3, where our focus is using our spiritual gift. And chapter 13 is talking about as we express those gifts, it's important that we express them in a biblical Christian love. Join me in reading the first 3 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul writes, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, there's a spiritual gift for the apostolic age, the gift of tongues, and have not charity, have not biblical love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have identified my spiritual gifts, but I exercise that gift in a way that is not putting the needs of my fellow church members, my spiritual siblings, before my own desires and ambitions, then I'm just making noise. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, there's another spiritual gift. And though I have all faith, there's a spiritual gift, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So you could have a great spiritual gift and you've identified it, and maybe you just have that gift to the extreme, that you have the gift of faith, such faith that you could literally move mountains because of that gift of faith. Moving mountains doesn't benefit the church at all if there's not an edifying purpose, if there's not a sacrificial love that motivates that. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned. Talking about maybe there the gift of giving, the gift of mercy. Exemplified, expressed to the ultimate degree. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So we see that the spiritual gifts are divine enablements for service, but they will be quite useless unless they're exercised, and unless they're exercised in biblical Christian love. With those things in mind, I invite you to a second passage this morning of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, one of our 4 New Testament texts that instruct us regarding spiritual gifts. We have Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. Here we'll look at verses 8 through 11. Once again, our focus is that third phase of exploring the topic of spiritual gifts, and that is, as it comes to fruition, we seek to use our spiritual gifts. Peter is going to maybe continue those thoughts of Paul, although Peter's going to be much more brief and concise in his dealing with the topic of spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Remember, we understand that that word charity, same word in 1 Corinthians 13, it's used by Peter here in 1 Peter chapter 4, that it's not simply donating to a nonprofit organization like we might think of charity today. Charity is just gives us that image of biblical love. putting God's desires for others ahead of my desires for myself. And that love is above all things, Peter says, and it's going to cover a multitude of sins. So we're opening our hearts, not in some like warm and fuzzy sense, but in the sense that I am going to have a biblical affection for my spiritual siblings, my fellow church members here at Thompson Road, that I am opening my heart to their needs, that I am willing to see God's desire for them above my own ambitions for myself. With open hearts, and then verse 9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That love is going to be expressed by way of, if you will, open homes. That as my heart is open to the needs of my fellow church member, to the spiritual growth and benefit and seeing God's desire played out in the lives of my fellow church member, that that will manifest itself in an open home. So in this context of open hearts and open homes, where I'm saying my focus is not on myself, my focus is on helping others to grow spiritually, to achieve God's will for their lives, to experience the edification that will make them more like Christ, then I'm ready to start using spiritual gifts with that open heart and with that open home, saying who I am, I submit to God. All I have, I submit to God. Who I am, I offer as an instrument to serve and edify the church. All I have, I open and present to the service and edification of the church. And it's in that context that we're prepared to start using our spiritual gifts. In many boxing training gyms or martial arts dojos, as you enter, so I've read, been told, that over the door is a sign that says, leave your ego at the door. And as you enter, you read those words, leave your ego at the door. And the reason that sign is situated prominently at the entrance is that as people come in, if they're going to succeed in that field, if they're going to work well with others, if they're really going to learn from the trainers and the senseis, if they really are going to navigate the difficulties of the patience and the discipline and the humility to reach the apex where there is both danger but also glory, that ego will have to be checked. Ego will have to be left behind. It will prevent them from working well with others and to achieve those goals. But we could get a sign like that to hang over our church entrances, couldn't we? To leave our ego at the door, knowing that as we come in, that if we're going to be successful in God's eyes, there's going to have to be great humility. There's going to have to be a willingness to be patient and to have discipline and to sacrifice and to be humbled, so that at the apex, that though there is danger, there is also glory, not our own, but His. And the difference for us is that we can't leave it at the door and come back and take it with us and have ego outside and not inside. The ego is permanently surrendered. My desire for my own glory and ambition is permanently yielded, because I've left ego behind in order to achieve a greater purpose than my own self-exaltation. The trainers, the senseis, know that for those athletes to succeed, it's going to be very important that they have the right view of themselves. And so it is with us as Christians. If we're going to use our spiritual gifts, if we're going to stir that up, if we're going to thrive in that and grow as a church to the glory of God, we have to start with a proper view of ourselves and of those with whom and to whom we minister. And so with those open hearts, with those open homes, we now turn our eyes to ourselves and make sure that we have a healthy biblical perspective of self. Ego's checked at the door, willing to say, Lord, how do you see me? How should I see myself as I seek to use these gifts to the benefit of others? And five views of self that we'll see just in verses 10 through 11. And the first is that we need to view ourselves as servants of God's church. as you set up a social media profile or you're writing a resume, you'll be asked to give descriptions of yourself, tell about yourself, the major points of your life. Well, Peter is instructing us that this is what we write, that I am a servant of God's church. Verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, and he's talking here about spiritual gifts, even so minister the same one to another. If you like to make notes in your Bible, and if you're looking at that translation that says minister the same one to another, above the word minister, you can write the word serve. It's the same word. View yourself as a servant of God's church. As everyone has received a spiritual gift, that means if you're a believer, you have at least one spiritual gift. Every man has received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another. And we reinforce there our definition of gifts as something that is used to serve each other in the church body. It's to the benefit of the church. That's what we got from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reinforced here in 1 Peter chapter 4, that the use of that gift is properly expressed by using it to serve one another. He's talking about the context of believers and their gatherings, namely the local church. So exercising spiritual gifts isn't something that we do because it's fun, or because it's fulfilling, or because we have this irresistible urge and motivation to just get involved in it. Sometimes it might be that way. There is a charisma to these gifts, is actually the word that's used sometimes, and there's a grace and a joy and really an excitement in the use of those gifts, but we don't always expect that. We don't look for glitz and glamour. We recognize that if I'm going to view myself as a servant, sometimes it's going to be unattractive. Sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes even painful to use my gifts to serve one another in the context of the local church. So what that means is we shouldn't put our spiritual gift on our job applications in the secular world. You shouldn't, if you're applying to teach at a school, say, well, I have the spiritual gift of teaching. That's not relevant. When you go to work in the secular world, the spiritual gift is a divine enablement to the benefit of the church to serve in this context. And often the gifts that the Spirit gives will coincide with or build on the natural abilities that we're born with. Remember what one preacher said, a talent is something that God puts in your DNA when you're born. A spiritual gift is something that God puts in your spiritual DNA when you're born again. So there's a difference. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will build on our natural gifts and abilities. Sometimes our spiritual gift is so different than our natural personality that it will be clear that the Holy Spirit has given that. As you have got to know me, I've got to know you over the past several years, many of you, you've probably noticed that I'm not a particularly gifted conversationalist. I thought there would be disbelief or maybe comfort instead of, okay, so you're with me there. So you've noticed, all right, then, especially that first came, that if there were to be conversations between us, that likely you had to initiate that. And if the conversation was going to go somewhere, that you had to kind of initiate that as well. Well, I am asking the Lord to grow me and to become a more social person. I hope you've noticed marginal growth. And I could say, you know, it's because I'm introverted or those things, but really it's selfishness and laziness. So thank you for prayers and for helping to bring me along. But I don't have the gift of gab, all right, in terms of something I was born with and social skills. And yet, you've also noticed I get up here on Sundays or Wednesdays and have a hard time talking for less than 40 minutes. All right, and part of that is just as all of you that have the spiritual gift of teaching or other speaking gifts know that, you know, there's the hours of work and preparation that go into that, but it's partly also just the spiritual gift that the Lord gives to people to serve in ways that naturally of their own abilities they're not able to do. So the church, as I see myself as a servant, I'm recognizing that the church isn't here to serve me, that I don't come to service as a consumer saying, okay, I'm here to be fed, I'm here to be catered to, make me comfortable, The temperature should be just so, and the coffee should be just so, and the seats should be just so, and I hope I get something out of the service. As so many people come to church today, but instead to see myself as a servant, and come on, not with a hand out, but with a hand up, saying, I'm here to serve, I'll volunteer, I'll be involved, where's the need, I'm ready to meet it. I'm ready to see myself as a servant. Even the Son of Man, Jesus says in Mark 10:45, even Jesus Christ himself came not to be ministered unto, not to be served, but to serve, and to give himself, his life, a ransom for many. So did you ever have a coworker who didn't pull their weight? And you just kind of wondered, what is it that you do here? Now, how do you keep that paycheck? How do you keep this job? You don't seem particularly productive. We're hypersensitive to that when we're working hard and there's a lot to do and someone doesn't seem to be carrying their weight. Or maybe you were a student involved in a group project and you worked hard and there was another person that didn't show up or didn't contribute and they still got the grade, and that kind of irks us because when there is a group effort, it ought to be a group effort and everyone ought to contribute and everyone ought to not just consider what makes them comfortable and well served, how they can serve and be involved. That's the attitude to come to church with. That we wouldn't be that person that shows up when we feel like it, sits back and waits for others to do the work, but that we would be contributors. That we would see ourselves as a servant of God's church. Second, here in 1 Peter 4, we have to view ourselves as stewards of God's grace. As servants of God's church and as stewards of God's grace. The second half of verse 10 says, with it, as we have received the gift, first part of the verse, even so minister the same one to another. And how do we do that? Second half of verse 10, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've got to see ourselves as stewards of a manifold grace. That word manifold means varied. And we have there again the picture that God has gifted each church member individually in unique ways, that even though we discussed 12 different gifts as possible gifts for today, not necessarily an exhaustive or a conclusive list, but we understand that there is an infinite combination of those gifts. And even someone with the same primary gift as someone else, that it's going to be expressed in different ways. It's going to be fruitful in different venues and to different extents. And so it's as though God, with his palette of gifts that are manifesting the Holy Spirit, paints each one of us as we're saved with a unique blend. The manifold grace of God shows itself through your service in a different way than it does through mine or through his or through hers. As unique as a fingerprint is, as unique as a snowflake is, God has gifted you with a manifold grace, a varied expression of spiritual service, and we need to be good stewards of that. You know what a steward is? It's someone who manages the resources of another or the benefit of another. So again, I'm recognizing that I can't take any pride in my spiritual gift. It's nothing that exalts me above someone else. I shouldn't be jealous of someone else, ashamed of my own gift. No, we are all just stewards entrusted with that which belongs to someone else. And you weren't entrusted with a particular gift because there's anything special about you. And I wasn't entrusted with a particular gift because there's anything special about me. And in fact, the Bible indicates that those more visible gifts, those probably speaking gifts that have more to do with leadership and more to do with speaking, carry with them a greater accountability. It should make you nervous long before it makes you proud. If the Lord has gifted you in a way that involves leading or teaching others. But as stewards, we know this is not mine. I am required to use it to the benefit of the one from whom it came and to whom it will go back. Has anyone started your Christmas shopping? Already got a start on that? Several. Okay, this is a reminder for the rest of us that it's about that time to start looking out for things. You know, it's funny when you get a Christmas gift, you get a birthday gift, usually those come with No strings attached. It's just a gift, and that's for you to enjoy. No selfish motivation, just out of love. But if you ever received a gift that kind of had strings attached, there's one promotion right now going on for the Keurig coffee makers. And in the commercial, they call it a wee gift. It's a wee gift. So if you give someone in your family a coffee maker, you get to benefit from that gift. It's not just for that person, right? That's a wee gift. Have you ever got a wee gift? If you get your wife a TV for Christmas, that would be a wee gift. All right. Kind of some expectations that even the gifter would benefit and others would benefit from this gift, even though it has one person's name on it. We have to view our spiritual gifts, if you will, as we gifts. That when God gives that gift, it's not just a gift given with strings attached, no strings attached, where it's just for me to enjoy however I wish. No, there are expectations that I would be a steward of that gift, that it would be a we gift that I use for the benefit of others. And so we have to remember that as stewards, you will be held accountable someday for the way that you used your spiritual gift, your unique combination of the manifold grace of God, to serve one another. And it is required, the Bible tells us in stewards, what? That a man, that a woman be found faithful. And we remember the story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25 of the three stewards. One given four talents, one given two, the other given one. The master leaves for a long time, and when he comes back, finds that the one entrusted with four talents has gained four or five talents, has gained five more. The one entrusted with two talents has gained two more. Do you remember the guy with one talent? He hid it in a napkin, and he buried it and tucked it away in a safe place. He presented it once again to the master upon his return. And we remember the master's harsh judgment, that this was foolish, that it was wasteful, that it was unfaithful of this steward to treat his talent in such a way rather than putting it out there where it could gain an interest and be a faithful growth for the benefit of the master when he comes back. And so it is with our spiritual gifts, that it can't be something that lies dormant and hidden, that just as Timothy needs to, we need to stir up that spiritual gift, that we can't be ignorant, that we need to understand and study it and pursue it and pray about it and walk in step with the Spirit and just get involved in serving, seeing ourselves as stewards, stirring up that fire, getting those gifts out there so that they can gain interest for the Master at His return. We view ourselves as servants of God's church, secondly, as stewards of God's grace. But number three, we need to view ourselves as messengers of God's word. Messengers of God's word. And this relates particularly to areas of speaking gifts. And here in verse 11, Peter's going to classify two types of gifts rather than listing a dozen different gifts as Paul might. Peter just gives two categories of gifts. There are speaking gifts, and there are serving gifts, and we kind of categorize them that way as well. Speaking gifts, including teaching and possibly wisdom and knowledge, and including the gift of exhortation and the gift of the evangelist and the gift of the pastor teacher. And then the serving gifts, more things like helping and mercy and giving and faith and the gift of administration, discernment. And so Peter will say in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And we know it's very clearly here from verse 10 that the context here is we're talking about spiritual gifts. So as you seek to serve in the church as a good steward of the manifold grace of God, serving one another with open hearts and open homes, to recognize that we don't do this lightly, that any time you're involved in a speaking service, whether it's instructing a child in the nursery, teaching kids Sunday school class, preaching here in church, or encouraging someone through way of private counsel, giving advice of biblical wisdom for someone as they make life choices, that as we speak, Peter says, as the oracles of God. That when in the context of the church ministry, I am speaking forth what the Bible says, that I have to be very sure that it is indeed what the Bible says. That as teachers, we have to be so careful, so faithful, remembering that James says, don't many desire to be teachers, knowing that we will receive the greater condemnation. So there is a fear aspect there that if I'm speaking as the oracles of God, I'd better be faithful. I'd better get it right. I'd better be studying in private so that as I proclaim in public or in that one-on-one or small group setting, that I would be faithful as one who speaks the oracles of God. I'm seeing myself as God's messenger. The other side of that fear and that healthy reverence is a boldness and an encouragement of knowing that I'm not sharing ideas that might work or might not. I'm not sharing my own counsel that someone's not going to like me because it didn't work out so well in their case, maybe. But that as you use your spiritual gifts, and as those gifts involve speaking to, encouraging or exhorting or teaching others, that God is using His Word through you. That there is a power in that message, that there is a divine life in that message, that we can't keep it in, that we've got to share it, that as I use the spiritual gift of evangelism to share the gospel with someone, that I'm speaking as the oracle of God, and that I see myself as God's messenger, I can't keep that message in. I'm going to be faithful, I'm going to study, and I'm going to be diligent, but as I share it, I have that boldness of knowing that this is God speaking through me in so much as I'm faithful to that word that He's delivered to us. We view ourselves as God's messengers as we use the speaking gifts. And then as we use the serving gifts, all of us should be using serving gifts. All of us should be using serving gifts. View yourself as a channel, of God's power. As a channel of God's power. So verse 11 again, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, and here we go again with that word, that we can just use the word serve. If any man serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And that word ability there has to do with power, empowerment, a strength, an energy that God gives through us to be able to do that which we would not be able to do on our own strength. So as we exercise the gifts of helping and of giving and of faith and of mercy and of administration and all these areas that we can be involved in church service, that we humbly recognize this is God's power, but again, we have that boldness and confidence of knowing God is at work through me when I, with an open heart and open home, am willing to see myself as a servant, to see myself as a steward, to see myself as His messenger, and to see myself as a channel of His power. So we serve abundantly. Remember 1 Corinthians, the verse that was our theme verse for last year, chapter 15 and verse 58. Wherefore be steadfast, brethren, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is the confidence of knowing that we are channels of God's power, that as we serve in the church, it's not going to be for nothing. That there might be times when you tried it. You got out there and you volunteered for this, or you came and worked on that. And it sure didn't seem to pan out so well, didn't seem to benefit anyone. In fact, maybe you didn't get any recognition, instead you got criticism. But we know. That the work that we do for the Lord is not in vain in the Lord. And because of that confidence, because we know that God's power is working through us, because we know that His word will not return void, we see ourselves as channels of that power. We serve abundantly. And so Paul will, right, as we talk about using our spiritual gifts and how to use them, Paul writes to the Romans and says, if you have the gift of administration, exercise it diligently. If you have the gift of giving, exercise it with simplicity, or maybe there with generosity. Do you have the gift of mercy? Well, you should exercise that gift with cheerfulness. That it's not out of duty, that it's not laborsome, that as we interact with people who are down and discouraged by sin, that we have to have that cheerfulness to lift them up and to point them to the joy of living in obedience to God. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We get involved, we jump in with both feet, both sleeves rolled up, and we serve as channels of God's power. And so I want to ask this morning, where are you in your spiritual journey of discipleship? The Bible teaches that when we get saved, that though positionally we are justified and freed from sin's penalty, that we still struggle against sin's presence. And we will still struggle with Paul and say, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. And I want to be more like Christ. But it's a process of sanctification, and it requires that we see ourselves as disciples and always be looking to take the next step in spiritual growth, to be conformed to the image of Christ. Where are you in that journey? Have you been saved, and are you growing? And the way we've tried to help you just recognize where you are and to know how to take the next step is with these fourfold foci, where you can start with worshiping, that which we were wired to do once you're saved, just to come into worship as we express to God. And then if you're coming to worship, maybe on Sunday morning, you're not coming to learn on Sunday nights or at Sunday school or the other venues we have available for learning, you'll take that next step in your discipleship process. It's not that you can't spiritually grow without this. It's just something there to help you, something measurable, so that if you're looking to grow, we have that opportunity, so that as you express to God in worship, that now you can also receive from God as we gather around His Word and learn. And to come to those small group meetings and the Wednesday night Bible study and those times where we can connect. If you're worshiping and you're learning, but you're not connecting yet, maybe that's your next step in your discipleship journey, is to get connecting as iron sharpens iron, to get connected as a spiritual family of Christ. But as we're doing those things, as the Lord uses those things to strengthen us and to mature us and to fill our reservoir with knowledge of Him and His grace and just the joy and fulfillment that comes from doing what we are wired to do in worshiping Him and connecting as a family, it can't end there. That instead of staying reservoirs, we must function as fountains and disperse that which we're getting from God to the benefit of each other. So if you're worshiping and learning and connecting, but you're not serving, that's your next spiritual step. Or even if you're doing a couple of those things well. Again, I'll use the illustration of a power plug. That if it's an extension cord and one end's at a power tool, the other end needs to be plugged in. And there are two or three prongs there. And if you're at least running two or three of these first three prongs, then the energy can run through you for service. And so rather than being a power tool that's gifted, that's able to do things, but just isn't plugged in, we want to be plugged in so that God's power is working through us. It doesn't end with us, but He uses it through us to do things here in the ministry. We view ourselves as channels of His power. And then finally, here in this passage, to view ourselves as contributors to God's glory. Verse 11 again, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Say it with me. Amen. That's our desire, that God would be glorified through this body of Jesus that the local church represents. And it happens when we understand our spiritual gifts, when we identify our spiritual gifts or are engaged in the process of seeking growth in that area, and as we just get busy using our spiritual gifts, seeing ourselves as servants of God, as stewards of His grace, as messengers of God's Word, seeing ourselves as channels of God's power, and then contributors to God's glory. We want Him to be glorified, and that's the end result when we submit to follow in these ways and get involved in serving. So where are you right now? Are you serving in the local church? We want everyone to get involved. Once you're saved, you start to worship and learn and connect. Very soon, it's time to get busy and start serving. So have you identified your spiritual gift? If not, stay in those passages for a while. Meditate on those. Pray about those. Have those conversations. Take the assessment test if that's something that's helpful. But don't stop there. Don't get hung up and say, well, I can't go anywhere unless I really, you know, structure exactly my list of strengths and abilities. No, just get involved. Just get busy serving the Lord, and He'll use you. And you'll see fruit from that. And that will help you know where your gifts are so that you can maybe invest more energy in those areas. But it doesn't excuse you from the other areas. And so we all just want to get involved. When I was a little kid, my mom had the vision of raising up a family orchestra, and every of my seven kids in my family, my six siblings and I, each one of us were required to take music lessons. But that kind of has to start when you're a young kid. A young kid might not know what instrument is best for them. So here was Mom's solution. She, as we started to get old enough for music lessons, we were to take a year of lessons on the piano, a year of lessons in the wind instrument of our choice, and a year of lessons in the string instrument of our choice. Well, I love the piano, but pianists have to look at six or seven notes at a time sometimes. And that didn't last past the year for me. I'm thankful that I can listen to Sarah play all those notes at a time. I loved the cello and the sound of that instrument and got to dabble with that for a little bit. But the instrument I stuck with, I just found I had an aptitude for, a connection with, also helped as a young boy that it kind of looks like a musket, and that maybe just was part of the influence there. But that's what I enjoyed, and that's what I could, you know, felt like, yes, I could go somewhere with this. And I'm thankful that my parents invested in music lessons, and with that I was able to travel in the college symphonic band and play in the orchestra and get to know a very special violinist that was also in that orchestra, and even serve here and worship with the clarinet sometimes. Well, maybe we can just take a similar approach. As we're looking for our spiritual gifts, it's not that we pick one off the menu or decide what we'd like to have. We can desire the best gifts, but we just seek to love each other and to invest in each other and experiment. Take a few things and say, I'm going to do all of these and let the Lord show me where I'm gifted and where I'm going to be fruitful. But I'll keep doing the others, and I'll keep just being involved serving abundantly all the time. As 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, that we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. So here's what we want to do for takeaways as we close: to serve abundantly. And as we close this little mini-series of a few messages on spiritual gifts, I want to challenge you with some concrete and measurable action. And so there are going to be four slides of different areas that you can exercise spiritual gifts in this church by serving others, by contributing to what God's doing through Thompson Road. And maybe if you have a pen or paper handy, or if you're good at taking mental notes, I want to invite you and urge you, challenge you to make a commitment this morning. And whether you've identified your gift or you're still in that process, if you're a believer, I want you to commit before the Lord, as He, you know, leads in your heart, to serve in several areas. Okay, so here's the first slide. It has to do with mercy, giving, encouragement, the gift of helping, the gift of faith. If you have one of these gifts or some combination of these, or even maybe as like a secondary gift, these are some ways that those gifts might be expressed. Opportunities to experiment here at church and see if the Lord might bless in these areas of your service. I want to challenge each of you, regardless of your giftedness and your knowledge of that gift, to pick three of these on this screen, if you're saved, if you're a member here, and say, I'll serve in at least three of these areas. Okay, just like Mom said, okay, here's your options. You pick some instruments, you have some leeway, try them and see how they turn out. Would you pick three of these and say, yes, I could commit to the Lord that I'll serve in three of these areas? Okay, here are some mercy, giving, encouragement, helping, and faith expressions. Open your home. That means the invite a church member over and invite one of our guest missionaries or speakers over. Open your home. Have a Bible study or just a meal together. Number two is provide a meal when someone's having a funeral or having a baby or having a surgery, and you can just provide a meal. Call or send a card. Okay, maybe when I said pick three things, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be really hard. Some of these are quite easy. And any one of you, if you're saved, if you're part of the church here, you can pick three of these things. Greet and converse. Right? Any one of us can just say hi to people at church. Just talk to people. Just check on them. Just try to have opportunities to interact and to sharpen and to edify. Help on the bus when that ministry opens up again. Or adopt a bus rider. Adopt a shut-in. These are people that are part of our church, but they're not able to be here. They're not able to leave home for one reason or another, whether it's transportation or health concerns. And you can say, I'm going to keep track of one. I'm just going to call every week, drop by from time to time, think about their birthday and holidays, and I'm going to adopt a shut-in. You can see us about that. And then pray for others. Okay, I'll leave that up there just a moment. Some of you are already serving in at least three of these areas. If you're not, would you pick three of these and commit before the Lord this morning and say, yes, I could do that. I don't want to be saved to sit. I want to be saved to serve. I don't want to be the one in the group project that just slacks off. I want to be a contributor. I want to be a channel of God's power. I want to be a servant of God's church, a steward of God's grace, a messenger for God, and a contributor to His glory. Okay, here's the second list. I'm going to invite you once again to pick three areas to serve. If you're going to serve abundantly all the time, we'll need some things to keep you busy. So would you pick three more here? Okay, maybe some of you have the gift of evangelism, the gift of giving, the gift of encouragement, the gift of helping. But even if you don't have those gifts, those are four areas all of us ought to be serving. I invite you to experiment in these areas. Adopt a missionary. We have a sign-up sheet there in the lobby. Or you can pick one of our 50 church families or ministries and say, I'm just going to pray extra for this person. I'm going to keep up with their prayer letters. I'm going to try to find some way to reach out and be a blessing. Okay, any one of us could do that. Some of you can't do this. Others could go on a missions trip. You can give financially through Faith Promise. I believe every saved church member can and should do that at some level. Help with visitation. That means just being part of the team that is involved in outreach in our community. Distribute tracts and materials. We have church brochures that tell people about our church. We have Bible tracts that just share the gospel with people that any one of us can and should be involved in passing out. Promote through social media. Most of you can like and comment and share some things about our church, things about the gospel, that you can serve each other in the church by doing. And then share the gospel. Offer to have a Bible study with someone or invite someone to church. Okay, I'll leave that up there a moment for you to pick at least three. Some of you maybe could do every single one of these. But to pick at least three and commit before the Lord to say, I'll serve faithfully in that area for a year and see where God blesses. Okay, two more slides, and in these, I'd like to challenge you to pick one. Pick one of these areas. Maybe you have a speaking gift, such as teaching, administration, encouraging, wisdom or knowledge, or not a speaking gift, but faith, discernment, and mercy. Any of us could at least pick one of these. One is to meet with young or struggling believers. Someone joins the church, and you say, I'll do a Bible study with that person. Or you notice someone that's struggling and say, hey, let's sit down and work through a book of the Bible or a spiritual growth book together. Teach or sub for a Sunday school class. If the teaching spots are filled, then prepare a lesson and offer to be a sub. Work in the nursery. You have to go through some screening and some training there. Many of you can do that. Teach or aid in junior church. The Bible says to teach and admonish through songs, and so you can sing in the choir to serve the church. You can sing in special music or play an instrument to serve the church. Volunteer for Awana or VBS. Okay, we'll pause there a moment. These are a little bit more challenging, but could you look at least one of these and say, yes, I'll commit to serve in that area for a year and see how the Lord blesses. Hey, finally, these might be expressions of gifts like helping. Maybe I was talking to my dad this week. He said, I think maybe every believer just has the gift of helping. It just means that we're all involved in serving. We're gifted in other areas as well. Helping, mercy, giving, administration. Again, would you pick one of these? If you're saved, if you're a member here at Thompson Road, would you commit to do this? You can help with cleaning, maintaining, and improving our building. A lot of big projects there. Weeding, planting, trimming, mowing, or watering. Not necessarily that you do all of those things. Picking up trash or straightening chairs. Working on security. Working in the sound booth. Setting up and tearing down for meals or classes. Signing up when there are needs. or volunteering, when we say, hey, here's someone in the church that needs some yard work done. Here's someone in the church that needs their garbage disposal replaced. And yes, they could hire people to do that, but here's an opportunity to serve, to be a blessing. Could you pick one of those and say, yes, I could do that for a year and see how God blesses? Now, some of you, it was very easy to pick several of these and say, yes, I'm already doing that. And some of you are over and above and beyond that. If I asked everyone to pick 8 areas to serve in the church, many of those are very simple. Some of you are doing more than that and have been for years. And if you are doing that out of biblical love, seeking God's glory, the church thanks you. I have no doubt but that you will hear in God's presence one day what the faithful stewards heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll make you in charge of many things. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. But if you're someone who maybe for whatever reason just hasn't been involved, hasn't been plugged in these areas, hasn't been serving, would you commit to the Lord today that you are going to see yourself as a servant of the church, as a steward of God's grace, to see yourself as a messenger of God's word, as a challenger of His power, and as a contributor to His glory, and start serving abundantly all of the time? If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and we recognize that these aren't responsibilities for you, you've not been gifted with a spiritual gift, that your first and greatest need is forgiveness and dealing with your sin problem so that you can have a relationship with God. And that happens because of Jesus' work on the cross. He gave His life, shed His blood as the perfect sacrifice to be an atonement for all who believe. So if you will today acknowledge your sinfulness, recognize that you can't earn His grace, you can't merit His favor, you can't perform righteously enough to attain the perfection of heaven, would you look to Jesus Christ today and His finished work on the cross and say, that's going to have to be it for me. It's my only hope to gain God's favor. It's my only hope of eternal life. It's my only hope for forgiveness of sin. As the closing hymn plays, after we pray in just a moment, I invite you to use this time, if you're unsaved, or if you're not sure you're saved, you can come forward as the music starts. Someone will step out and take you in a side room and show you from the Bible how you can get that settled today. If you're saved and not serving, or serving a little bit, some of the time, you would use this time to commit to the Lord. You're going to get busy, get plugged in, and serve abundantly all of the time. And if you're faithfully serving, that God would help you to use this time to check your heart for that motive of love, for that desire for His glory, and for His power to continue to flow through you as a channel.